was in this meeting, and I was impressed with, you know, the robes. And this one guy had a nicer looking robe than the rest. And he was a little older, and I can't remember anymore. It's been so long ago. But anyway, as I'm looking at it, and they said, "Well, what do you think?" And he said, "Well, you know what?" He says, "This is what I think. And you know what? I was just listening to God." A man of this, you know, of his talents and his position and his whatever, and for his opinion. And when we saw in the commentaries, and I had a half dozen sets, no, I didn't have, I had like three sets of them. And I would take them out if I was at an area that was questionable. I would take all of them, and I'd get this area in it, and I'd see what they thought. Well, very seldom did they agree with each other. And is truth important or not? And sometimes, based on their background, what they thought was pretty much different than what the rest of them thought. You know what I mean? It was like we're looking for people's opinions. And so I hear a voice, and it says, "If you want to find me, you got to look for me where I am." Well, you know what? That's kind of one of those things where the natural man would think and say, "Well, you know, that's foolish. That's foolishness. It is foolish." Except that once we begin to understand that the sum total of places, that the only place you can find God is right here. And I had to understand the reasons for that. I had to start understanding things by faith. By faith we understand, or through faith it says in Hebrews. We understand. I had to understand that, how did the scriptures come about? Why do we call it God's Word? Well, in former days, former times, way back when, God spoke to the fathers through the prophets. Is he capable of that? In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Remember, we used to try to figure out whether it was through his Son or by his Son or in his Son. Remember that years ago? You know what? It doesn't really matter. And so here it is. God, who has the ability, the power, whatever it is, to take and use holy men of old to speak through his word, what he once said. So that's it. This is his word. When you read the commentaries, that's not really what you're reading. When you hear the private interpretations of the church, that's not what you're reading. I had to get separated from the thinking of the church, of the thinking of men, of the book thing that is devastating. And I can remember, I think it was Simon, but I'm not sure, and we talked about it years ago, and we went to a bookstore, and I got like three or four different books I wanted to read. And he was wiser than I was. And he says, "You know what? By the time you read all three of those books and what they have to say, you won't believe in God anymore." One of them was fundamental Baptist oriented. Another one is something else. You know, we are coming to some of the most phenomenal revelations right now that we have ever I've never had anything like this. And one of them is the understanding of tongues, which I never had. All these years, I never understood. You know what the percentage of people is that understand? It's kind of like Dominic became an Eagle Scout. And I said, what's the percentage? And he says, people that, you know, in the Scouts have become an Eagle Scout. And he says, "Oh, probably 2% or less." Well, you know what? Now we're kind of getting into Christianity. You know, 2% or less. Many are called, few are chosen. And it's not this widespread, nice road that people think. And we got these scriptures that are coming into focus, you know, like, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Or if the righteous scarcely be saved, where is the sinner and the ungodly? Where are they going to appear? What do we do with these scriptures? Well, you know what? We wake up. We wake up and say, you know what? I want the truth. If Jesus was born and sent to bear witness to the truth, I want that truth. Can I have it? I can. You know why I can? Because the Holy Spirit was given to us to lead and guide us into all truth. Not just truth, all truth. Of course, I couldn't contain all that, but that was the reason. Why would God want to have His Spirit give us all truth? He wants it to have all truth. All truth versus many lies, you know what I mean? He wants us to have the truth, so He gives us the Spirit. But another thing, which has got to be one of the most profound things that I have had experience and had happened in a long, long time, was the understanding of speaking in tongues. And why? Why did God give it to us? Is it a salvation issue? I don't think so. I don't see anything that says that. But there's a reason. Because as God spoke to the fathers through the prophets, He will also, the Bible says, He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For howbeit in the Spirit He speaks mysteries. Then the two verses after that it says, and he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Do you know what it means to edify? You know where the word edify comes from? Edifice. Structure. A building. He builds himself up. Why? And this is where and who God is. God is so awesome that He intercedes for us according to His own will through a language that we can't even understand. So Paul says, I will pray with my spirit, I will pray with my understanding. You know what I'm saying? God has given us something that works with our human spirit that we can pray, and He will take and use it to pray according to His will. And that has had an impact on me. Is it vital? It's becoming vital to me. But anyway, I got more to say. I'm kind of rambling here a little bit, but
lately, I've been under attack. I have been, but also I have been under protection. Which, when we are under attack, it's difficult when you are under attack to recognize that you're under protection also. But I am thankful that I'm under protection.
Yes.
You know, and I've been getting attacked. I'm not going to go into detail, but just randomly, my brain, you know, just my body, at night, you know, during the day, different, you know, and you know, I sleep with a machine. It's a CPAP machine. What it does, it's not oxygen, but it pushes air into you. It just forced air, just so when you. If your neck is bent down, so you can still breathe or whatever. Anyways, when I was under attack with that one night not very long ago, and I woke up and took my machine out. Anyways, if I don't sleep with a machine, I basically can't sleep. It's difficult. A headache, and I can't. But anyways, all of a sudden, I'm like, I'm not going to sleep with a machine anymore. And I took it off, and it's been a couple of days now, and I've been able to sleep normal. You know, I'm not sleeping 100%, but I'm no machine, and I can sleep. And that's, I've been using a machine for like 10 years, roughly. And that's huge for me. I mean, I don't know, it's like somebody using crutches to walk. Now, no more crutches. I mean, I had to sleep with a machine. I'm not sleeping with a machine anymore. It's huge. And anyways, and so, you know, I that same night that I got attacked, the next morning, Dominic was telling Candy about a dream he had, and I'm going to, I mean, it goes from Dominic to Candy to me, so I'm just going to be as clear as possible without having all the details, but Dominic and I and Candy and, you know, us relatives, I don't know. He said we were not in a planet. So what's around you that you know you're not in a planet? So anyways, we were not in a planet. But there, and they couldn't find me. And then they found me, and I had all these demons, you know, monster figures around me. But I, there was this a protection. There was a, you know, a dome, I don't know. And but they were still at it. And then, you know, Dominic and Candy and whatever, they prayed, and they were gone. They were gone. I know, and I've been under a bit of stress because I'm going to Chile, different things. Anyways, so my mom sends me a message that morning after, you know, and I didn't want to read it because I knew it was going to be about Chile, and I didn't want to even think about it. But later I read it. I know, actually it was a voice message. I heard it, and she said, Pablo, there's this lady, I mean, she's the principal of my nephew's, her grandkids. She's the principal of my nephew's school, and she goes to this one church, and I think she's like some sort of a leader there, I don't know. And she says, and I've been telling her about you, she said, and she wants to meet. He says she wants you guys to come to the church, I don't know, to visit the church, and she wants to meet. She wants to know what kind of church you guys go, what kind of church you're in. So I answered her back, and I said, this is, it's not a conversation, it's just messaging. I said, I don't know what kind of church we are. I said, but I said, if you want to know what we believe, I said, you, it's the first word in the Bible, all the way to the last word in the Bible, I said, and that's what I believe. And I listened to the Bible, I listened to the Bible at work, you know, in my truck. And so forth. Okay. So then she answers me back. She says, oh, okay. She says, you know, she still wants to meet, blah, 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 blah. She says, and Miguel, he says, he's making her a copy of the Bible you sent me because he's so excited about that, blah, blah, blah. So I feel like my mom is a bit of like a John the Baptist kind of doing thing. And no, I'm Jesus or nothing, but I'm like, and I've been thinking, I'm going on vacation, but I'd really like to be able to have an opportunity to talk to people. Yeah. And I honestly was thinking, man, my mom, you know, when she comes here, she's probably sick of me, you know, talking about stuff and Jesus. And so I was like, I was actually a little concerned that my mom was going to maybe like, okay, Pablo, we're on vacation, just put God aside or something. But it's actually the opposite. She's preparing the way. So what? Praise God? Yes. So that's a good thing. That was another testimony. Maybe that's it. Anyways, you know, when Jesus, he prayed for the blind man, he put, which is odd, you know, he put dirt and he spit on it and made mud, put it on the eyes. I don't understand any other stuff, but he's Jesus, he can do whatever he wants. you know, put his hands on his eyes. Okay, and then you'll be healed, right? So look up, what do you see? I see man by trees walking. In other words, I'm still blind, right? I still don't see, or if I, whatever I see is not an accurate representation of reality. So Jesus prayed again. You know, open your eyes, what do you see? He said, I can see perfectly. I'm like, what's going on with Jesus? He has to pray twice. You know what I mean? But if maybe he prayed twice, or three times, or four times, five times, 10 times for everybody. It's just, the Bible would be super long if it was explained every time, and it would be unnecessary. He says that he just prayed. So when we pray, if Jesus prays twice, and okay, what was I've got a ache of some sort. Ache be gone. Do you still have the ache?
Yes.
Pray again. Ache be gone. Mm-hmm. That's what Jesus did. Yeah. Tested. You know what I mean? Keep praying. You know, if Jesus prayed twice, we pray twice. And if Jesus says, pray forever until you get your answer. You know, like when the woman goes at night, you know, asking for bread or to the judge, you know, all that. Just keep praying, you know. Jesus prayed a lot. You know, another parenthesis. You know, if Jesus is God, why does he even pray? You know what I mean? Who is he praying to? I want to read this. And when I read it a couple of days ago, I couldn't get through it. It was just so impactful, and if I can't get through it right now, I'll do it later. I'm just going to read this. Matthew 25, and it's about the talents. And we've heard this several thousand times, but it just impacted me. Matthew 25, and I'm going to start at 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Every word is so important here. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to them, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid. I went and hid your talent. And I was afraid. And I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'm going to read a hair more. When the Son of Man came in his glory and all the holy angels with him. Then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. Well, I'm going to stop there. Anyways. Anyways, so that's a parable. The kingdom of heaven is... So, there's a Lord that went. So, who's the Lord? The Lord is the Lord. The Lord is the Father, right? The talents, you know, is a valuable thing. Money, talents, I don't know, golden coins, whatever that is. What is of value, oh God? God is all along, is His Word, His Son, His Word. That's the talents. You know, it's not angels, it's with the Word. Who's the servants? The servants is us. It's easy, you know, Christians. So, He's given us, no doubt, He's given us His Word. I mean, if God is not giving us, if His Word is not what He's given us, what are we doing? I mean, indeed, He's given us His Word. No doubt. Now, if somebody gives you money to invest it, God wants us to invest. If somebody wants you to give you money to invest it, you have, you know, I don't know, $1 million. You go home and you sit in $1 million and you wait for somebody to come to your house to say, hey, you got any money that we could invest? No. You have the money. You go out and find anybody that wants to invest with you. God has given us His Word. He has given me His Word. Some five, some two, some one. I don't care. It doesn't matter. He wants us. He wants us to invest it. Not invest it in us. Yes, work on our own salvation, so forth. But He wants us to invest His Word. And if you don't, you wicked and lazy servant. And so like, well, He's giving me His Word, so I might be pretty good. No. And let me tell you who I am. I'm the one with the one talent. Because I haven't invested. And yeah, I'm here with you guys telling you stuff. But we are kind of just trading talents. I'll give you one, you give me one, and I'll give you two, you give me two. But I was used to think, you know, I need to wait for the Lord to show me. You know, He's showing me, He's giving me His Word. He's already, what am I doing? He gave me His Word. That's the showing. That's the door. And He says, I don't know where the scripture went. That's why I kept reading. But it says, maybe it came, it showed up now. There you go. I promise you it was there. You also receive it. Where did it go? Huh. Anyways. It says, don't fear man, says Jesus. Oh, yeah. Don't fear man. What is man going to do to you? Cut you in half? So? Ridicule you? So? You know, I'd rather be cut in half, ridiculed and spit on than having my God. You wicked and lazy servant. You know, so I want to encourage me and encourage you to know that God has given us His talents. And the door is open. We can't wait. We don't have to wait for people to come and beg us to ask us if we have anything to give them. We have to go. And we don't have to make things happen. No. No, we need to be led of the Spirit, obviously. But we got God's Word in us, and God's Word is Spirit. So, I don't know. I feel, at least personally, that I need to. The door is open. The door is open for us to invest talents. You know.
Someone get up here, but I had to this time. There's some background to this story, and if we go back, way back, and to the book of Job, and Job went through absolute hell, and one of the things that the statement that it makes about Job, it said that he never, in spite of all of these things he went through, he never sinned or charged God foolishly. Well, if Joanne and I have any testimony or anything as when we lost our son, we knew that we had not sinned in this thing or charged God foolishly. God gives, God takes, you know what I mean, this thing. Well, anyway, let's go back to Pablo. His mother and her new husband comes from Chile, long ways away, to visit Pablo. And he's sick. He's sick. What a horrible, horrible thing for God to put on him. To allow the devil to put him through all this hell. For a week, he can't move. I mean, they kept him home, so he was close to his mother and could talk to her and so forth, but he goes through this absolute hell. Do you remember it, the hell and stuff? But not, it's not, it was yesterday. So it's not something relevant. You know what I'm saying? And so then God supernaturally delivered him from this thing. What else? I sat here and I thought, what else could affect your mother and Miguel like what you went through? Doesn't the Bible say all things work together for good to them that love God and who are called according to his purpose? God's call is on you. The pain's not there now. You went through it. How is that? It says a woman, when she in childbirth, she goes through all this pain, but she forgets it. I'm glad that we can. And so now, what happened to Pablo in this thing has turned something in his mother, something in Miguel, something in everybody they talk to. What do you suppose they've done since they've gone back to Chile? They broadcast this thing, anybody that'll listen to them. That was I saw this thing and I thought, I've never seen anything like this myself. But anyway, it's like all things do work together for good, don't they, Pablo? It changed something in them. It opened the door, and I'm saying the door has been opened, and we gotta keep praying for him when he goes back to when he goes to Chile.
We had a very interesting week, but. For some reason, Wednesday, Thursday, somewhere, I wanted to look up the scripture again and know exactly where it was about where it says if they have not a love for the truth. So it's in 2 Thessalonians. And so I read that, and then I went to where it's in Timothy, you know, where this is. But I started reading through them, and like just in Timothy 1 and 2, books. There was like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 references to truth. Just there. And I was going to read them all kind of here maybe, but I don't know, maybe. But I am going to read 2 Thessalonians because something, you know, called or chosen. Now, certain verse, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You know, a lot of times because we just can't think that we could be wrong, we will keep believing what we believe because we don't want to be wrong or admit we're wrong. We already are wrong. And so we love the unrighteous deception. You know, we don't. So I was... Man, I went through a couple different things here, so bear with me. But I heard an interesting comment. I heard a slight definition of Zion. And the guy goes, yeah, did you know the definition of Zion is, I am there with you. And I thought, gee, that's interesting. I like that. You know. But another thing was, he said, and I heard, this made me go, all of a sudden, the Lord just used this to delve into my, you know, where I'm at. But he mentioned that, you know, if you say you in marriage, you have a wife or whatever, and you say, I love you, it doesn't matter how good you are that you love them. It's, are you committed to them? See, and you stop and think about that. Commitment. See, and he said, you know, you can say I love you to your wife, but if you never show her reasons why, what is that? You know? And so I started thinking, and you know, I looked and I realized I've fallen into something and fallen away in something. Pam and I didn't always have the most lovely marriage every day of the year, you know? But, and even through the move thing, but for some reason, I had a commitment. And I always said, I don't care what happens or what, I am not going to divorce my wife, you know? And so then that helped, you know? But I started thinking, so I was committed. And then, you know, I mentioned that I didn't realize it at the time, but when you lose your loved one for whatever reason and you're on your own, it's hard to, I guess what I found out in is a lot of my walk was for her. You know, I wanted to try to be, you know, who I should be, his husband, whatever. Some of my walk was for my kids. And then after Pam went, you know, and I met somebody and we dated for a while, I wanted to, you know, be committed, you know, as a Christian to give an example to, you know. And then that stopped. And now I've been all just by myself. And see, all those things are good, but they're like a false stand or lean on thing, a false crutch. You know, because I know when I first got saved, all I wanted to do was be whatever I could for God. You know, I mean, committed. And I just realized, probably this morning, I have not been committed to my Lord. And I repented, you know. I mean, I'm out here thinking, I got to get better for this, I got to get better. No, I got to get better for Him. You know, I mean, directly, I got to be married to Him again. I'm not, I haven't been. And it just, oh, that was such an eye-opening thing, you know. And it's, you know, now would I have received that 6 months ago? Well, I certainly probably wouldn't have received it from any one of you, you know. But that's the working of God, and that's the working of the Scriptures. And I was listening to, and I'm not going to go into details who it was now, but it was very enlightening. I mean, I got stuff from it. It was involving worship and praise. And, you know, a lot of the conception out there is if we can just praise and worship more, we'll bring in the last days or get closer to God. But then the thing now that rings, and they even mention it in Spirit and Truth, a little real pretty quick. In fact, one of the things was, the person said, yes, God has called us to unity. And I think he might have implied in the Spirit. But he says, I can't even agree with myself sometimes. And that's true. You can't. And you will never achieve unity in your natural mind. But my question would be, do you know your God? How big is He? And that's what I've begun to find out. If He says, I want unity, can He bring unity? Yes. And it won't be, and yes, of course, it's in the spirit realm, which we, you know, and the good thing with this individual is he really conveyed what we have about being born again. You know, he says, I need to keep being born again and again and again till I get higher, higher, higher from heaven. You know, I know where it's coming from. Well, then, but if you, this basic truth of who Jesus Christ is just the key. I mean, if you're, and they are wholeheartedly worshiping God with all their heart, except there still is deception, because they don't really know who they're worshiping. You know, and God's taken, you know, and I'm not judging where they're at now, because see, that's the key. I heard things that elevated me in a sense to have excitement, because I believe there's going to come, it says, worship Him in spirit and truth. So does that mean there's a time when we will be worshiping? Yes! And man, am I looking forward to that. But I won't have that unless I have truth. I mean truth. And so what excited me was some of these people, God is going to bring this and they're going to get this. And then we're going to see some glorious things happening, because it's like, I was starting to miss a little of what some things they said, you know, were saying. But they haven't heard this thing that God has given us. And it's going to take all of us coming together, you know. And it, I mean, that's, there's so many little things in the Bible that, you know, and like the talents. You know, as Pablo was speaking, here's the key, I think. I mean, a discernment that has to be there. It says that. And yes, He's given us this word. But the key is, by the Spirit, when He says to use those talents, you know, to, it's like, yeah, He's given them to us, but has He actually given them to us? You know what I'm saying? I mean, has He actually went and said, now go and do this with this that I've given you? Which you can, I mean, I think that's what you were implying, Pablo, this led by the Spirit. It's like, and I'll tell you, I keep hearing that. And in some ways, I hated that parable because all I could see was me with one. You know? But that's good because it makes me look at myself and say, how do I not be that? You know? And so, grace and mercy, and you know, it's but boy, and I've been feeling it. I kept thinking to myself, it's like I feel like, yes, I have lost my first love. You know, and then when he showed me this morning about, you know, who am I really committed to? Because you know, when I got saved. And I was involved with AA at the time. I quit going because it was like after a while, it's like, well, I want to do this because of him. And that went for 30 years, whatever. You know, it's been going. But some stuff has come back, and it's like, you know why? Because I haven't really been doing it for him. I've been doing it for this one and that one, thinking, you know, that this is a good thing if I can be who I should be, da 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 da. Well, you know, it's a false persona, kind of, you know, and that's not gonna bring more talents, you know, it's not gonna increase anything. So this is a big. I want to dwell on this. I mean, I want to take this to heart that I've been shown, and. But when there's certain the ways that if you read in Timothy and 1st and 2nd Timothy and you look for those, that key word truth, it just shows, and it all is almost always preceded by, because he's talking to Timothy, do not be taken away by idle babblings and arguments and, you know, and speech of men is what it is, and thoughts of men, because that's a deception of the enemy. That is the enemy at work. And, you know, it's, of course, and I could recognize this because this is the way we were. Oh, here's okay, I'll get to this one point, but let me say this first. A lot of these people that are professing worship and praise is because they're praise worship leaders. You know? And I'm sure in their mind at this point, if you said, well, maybe that's not that important at this point, they would go crazy, you know. But the other, oh, now did I just lose it? Oh, I think this is where it was going. It's about, yeah, okay. He brought up a point, and I it's funny because way back when I first came to this church, what I started recognizing was, boy, they say I love you a lot to the Lord. And he brought this up. He says, do you know that people, that's never been said only once in the Bible in one place. Psalms 18:1, David says, I love you, Lord. And then he says, the other places where Jesus grabbed Peter by the head, I mean, he was this, and said, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love. That's the only two places in the Bible that's given as an example. He said, why then did like 40 years ago, all of a sudden, we started singing I love you and saying I love you to the Lord? And I thought, yeah, that's something to think about. That's something to meditate about. You know? It was never done in the 1800s. It was never done in the 1600s. Not recorded. And even if you look in all the old hymns, you know, they say the love of the Lord is this and that, you know. But it's not just you personally saying, I love you, Lord, and with all my heart, you know, I will worship you. So, remember we sang that? And, oh, but lately I've been going, I don't know if I want to sing so much that because I have not felt like I've been in love like I should, you know. But I think if you begin to profess it with your heart, it'll help. And then knowing now, yeah, because my commitment has been awry, you know. So that may sound funny to some people, but, you know, I don't care if I walk with the Lord for 80 years. If I'm not walking right with the Lord, I want to know about it.
Yes,
you know? I want to know about it because it's a narrow path. And years means nothing, obviously. You know? The key, when I was listening to stuff, truth gets brought up, but the revelation isn't there yet. You know? For one, if this revelation comes to them, they're going to have to see the revelation of being a child, you know? And that thing I said last week about humble, how to be humble before the Lord. And that's as constant a thing or more so than being born again and born again. I mean, that's actually what helps you keep being born again, is being humble and having humility to know that you don't know everything and you need to hear from the Lord, you know. And if it's foundation, and the person mentioned the word as being very profound, but they still don't see the actual, you know, if you do not have the truth of who Jesus Christ is, you're always going to be off, you know. You're just going to be off. And some of the ways they're relating to him, if they stopped and listened to what they were saying, because they're speaking of him as a being, and they're speaking of his blood, and, you know, it's like if Jesus was a man and became God, then why ever use the reference of the Lamb again? In Revelation, you know? Because, well, that's gone. But see, you can't make that go away. You can't make the righteousness of the blood that he shed go away. And, you know, if I was thinking, and I've had this come a couple, what is the Spirit of Christ that I want in me? You know, it says, you know. Well, I see, it is... I think a lot of people, if you have the Spirit of Christ, you have the Spirit of God. Well, partially. What about if I have the Spirit of Christ, it will make me want to be totally obedient to my Father.
Amen.
You know? What if the Spirit of Christ means I want His will, not mine? You know? What if the Spirit of Christ means I will suffer for anyone for your sake, Lord? You know? I will die for my whoever. You know? And then if you have the Spirit of Christ, wouldn't you want to do everything he said in the Sermon on the Mount and all that in red that's in the, you know, the words of Jesus Christ in the Gospels? Wouldn't you want to follow every... Because he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, it's... And you know what? Doesn't that look impossible? It does. But for the same reason that he can bring unity, he can make that happen in every one of you and me. Because he is that awesome God that we speak of. And he has become more and more and more awesome the more you receive truth. And you start to realize that, yeah, he's capable of doing all kinds of things that we can't see in the flesh, you know? But now I want to believe by faith. See, I by faith believe there is unity that can come while we're still on this earth. And it's not through diversity, you know? That is the craziest thing. And I know Keith brings it all the time, but when you stop and think about it, it's just, how can you, if you're going to keep professing you're a Lutheran or a Baptist or a Pentecostal, how are you going to have unity? Because you think you got something the other one doesn't, you know? So, right there, there's no humility, you know? Because if you go before the Lord, and there's, and you know, even in this church, from, you know, was a whole bunch of mix from all kinds of denominations, and we still lean to certain ones and whatever. Most of that, I feel, is pretty much gone away. You know, so when the true church comes forth, there's not going to be denominations. There's just going to be the church of God. You know, it says the church of God is, the pillar of the church of God is truth. And I think it says that in Timothy, one of the places. You know, the foundation of the church is the pillar of truth. Is it important? Yeah, you better believe it. You know, that, I mean, I've gotten such a profound love, maybe, for finally, truth is the ultimate. You can't get anything better than truth. But the problem is, the world has all kinds of definitions of what truth is. Which in it, right there, says it's untruthful, you know. And you know, and then the church sometimes wants to think that they have the truth, and they try to back it up and make it fit. There's one truth in this word that all men can know at the same time. Because that's what he's capable of doing and says he will do.
Well, sometimes I like to get up in the front so I don't chicken out on what I'm going to say. I want to give kind of a strange testimony. It's kind of, it's a sad, happy testimony. Okay, there we go. A couple days ago, I got a call from my brother, and I had to call him back. This is my middle brother. He's 72. I'm the youngest again. Well, it turns out this is really horrible. He has a mass on his right kidney that they're going to have to remove his kidney. They don't have a choice. He has a cyst on his left kidney. That kind of limits you. You know, what's God going to do? And I was, like, talking to him, and I was like, oh, I felt the love of the Lord in all this. And I'm, like, talking to him. And well, I wasn't talking to him. I was talking to his wife, who was quite down. And just kind of felt positive. Okay, that's not me. End of statement. I went on to just feel real positive in talking about it and stuff like that. Then all of a sudden, this is how the devil likes to work in me. Days later, all of a sudden, I am so afraid. This cascading thing that comes upon me that I'm like, I can't do anything, I can't breathe, I can't, you know. This is me. God knows me. He's met me. And he took a lot of time with me in the shower. We have a lot of good talks in there because the devil was just beating me up. Your brother's going to die. Do you know about your brother? Are you going to be able? You're going to handle it. What's going to go on? Okay, this is the MO. I mean, I'm paraphrasing all this into a short period of time, but it's a long thing. This is really serious. I mean, it's, you know, they're going to have to take his kidney. Is he going to survive with a cyst on his left kidney? I mean, there's no getting around it. And all of a sudden, it was like, stop. I can do all things through Christ. And it was like this empowerment of, we're going to see God doing the things that he has talked about and he has said. No matter what happens, I am going to be strong in the Lord. My faith was renewed in him because it was meant to be like, Susan, you can do it. You can handle this. You know, I didn't make you the way that the devil has told you so often that you are. I've made you a child of God. And you are going to have that strength when you need it. And you're going to go on and do the things that I've asked you to do. So I just claim it in the name of Jesus that, hey, he has empowered us to walk in faith, to believe what the things in the Bible say, to stand up against the devil when we don't think we have any chance, because we're not standing here alone. We got an army behind us. And that army is bigger than anything in front of us. So I'm just claiming that God has a plan for me. He has a plan for my brother. And it's all going to be good. And it's all going to be God's glory.
I was affected by Keith's telling of Pablo's testimony there. You know, you go through those kinds of things. Your folks come from south of the equator for a visit, you know. And here you are dealing with terrible pain the whole time. That is so disappointing. And, you know, you just think, Lord, why are you letting it be this way? You know, where are you? Why isn't it better? I'm your child, aren't I? You know? You know, I've had those kinds of things happen, and it's just, I don't know, so disappointing. And then, imagine what happens. The Lord comes and turns it all around and has it turn into something that has a major impact, something that never would have occurred if things had just gone regular and nice, you know, the way you'd like them to. And isn't that characteristic of God? You know, so, hey, seriously letting you down in a way that you deserve better. That's not fair, you know? And then turn it around to have it be something just great. And who knows the ways in which that same kind of story with variations is occurring in our life right now, you know? I have thought about all the boys that Herod killed there at the time that he heard that the Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem. And killed them all. You know. Well, have you thought about what that is? That is Jesus is the great substitution. You know? He took our sins upon himself, and he was the sacrifice for that. Those babies were the substitution for the Messiah, for the Savior, you know? Instead of him, it was them. Can you imagine what a glorified position that is to be the substitute for the Messiah in heaven, you know? But imagine those babies' mothers, you know? Herod coming and killing them for, you know? How really don't know, disappointing is a very small idea of what that is, you know? And they would never have known that that was what was going on. Never in their entire life. Never. But then in heaven, to realize that their baby had the choice opportunity to be the substitute for the Messiah, the substitute for the substitute, you know. And who knows what kind of thing like that is going on in our life. Something that is really hard, really difficult, and we just do not see God in that thing at all. All we see is, you know, bleak disappointment. Mm-hmm. Who knows what kind of thing that the Lord has in mind for us? You know, we don't. We don't know.
Oh, I ain't drunk. I just stagger. I was kind of glad to hear Sue's testimony this morning. For about 4 weeks now, I've been dealing with a pinched nerve in my neck that goes down my right arm, and it was good for me to hear somebody come up and say their faith is getting stronger through their pain. I gotta admit, mine hasn't been. I've sat back there now for, you know, over an hour in constant pain in my right arm, and there's no position I can get into that would ease the pain. And it sometimes it does subside, but then it comes back. Every once in a while, it hits me like a bolt of lightning. It just puts a sharp pain through my whole arm. Thursday now, I have to go in sometime to get a shot in my neck into the spinal cord and whatever, you know, because that's all I can come up with is try and do whatever they do with that, you know. And it's a risky shot, they tell me. They can screw up and they can paralyze you. And I've got to admit, like I said, my faith has been weak in it. I haven't committed to praying for the relief of the pain as much as I should, because I can't get past the pain to do that. And that's my weakness. Thank you.
Good report. Think of those things. In the name of Jesus. But thank I need the strong ones for Glenn. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. You know, Glenn, it would have been pretty easy just to stay back there in the pew and not tell us about that.
Thank you, Jesus.
If you had brought up the same thing, I'd probably
it was a demonstration of faith for you to be getting up.
I have a couple of that requests to
I got a call from Lucy this morning.
Oh, did you talk to them?
Yeah, she talked to them. And she did. Now, I was a little confusing for me, just what the situation is, whether he was alive or
Hurt that baby, Glenn. Hurt that baby. Dad said that he told me he had him because he knew he was heavy there. And he asked if they had left. Well, they didn't put him back there. But he's not losing the hand. I mean, they were big. So they didn't say he doesn't cry.
We'll pray for him.
Yeah.
I think today the Lord has taken a lot of time and shown a lot of patience with us to remind us what's really important. We've been talking about all the things in the world that have been getting in the way of our relationship with Him. This morning, just as an aside, this morning we got a call from the insurance adjuster who basically said, nope, we're not covering that. So, my little plumbing stuff. And I turned to Susan and I said, you know, just would like to catch a break. Could it catch just one? You know, once a quarter, just lob something my way that's just not pain-inducing, you know. And I was called up short. This doesn't matter. This is what matters.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the enemy, flesh. We're just so easy to be sucked into woe is me. It's just the way we're made. But you know, our God is faithful and patient, and He continues to remind us through each other and through what happens in our life what's really important. He's really important. Life everlasting is really important. The inconveniences of pain and death and toiling and discomfort and hunger and cold, while they're real, they're just temporary. He is forever. He is important. And the trick, that's the right word, is to not lose sight of what's important.
Right.
And not let the world where the enemy through the world beat you down. I'm not minimizing Glenn's pain. I'm not minimizing my brother-in-law's health issues. I'm not minimizing the fact that my uncle passed away. These are all things. They're all real things. We have to deal with these things. This is part of the deal. But you can't let those things be the driver. The driver is you want to be saved. The driver is you want to be with God. Ken asked a question today, and as I'm prone to do, I've started spinning on that. You know, I don't know that I have the answer, but I'll offer an idea. It is really hard to love someone that you're afraid of. It's really hard to do that. And for many years, us people were really dependent upon God for everything. We were dependent upon Him for sunlight and warmth and rain and just things so we weren't starving or weren't cold. But we've kind of gotten full of ourselves, and we don't know how to make things rain, and we know how to make up for lack of heat, and we know how to grow food where we're used to be a desert, and we've become pretty self-reliant. So now it's not so much that we fear God as we can love Him for what He's bringing to us. So I don't know if that's why, but in the past I think we were so fearful of God, it was hard to talk about how much we love Him. Now when we think we sort of aren't so dependent upon Him, it's easier, so we talk about it. At least I know, for me, that fits. I don't know if that's what society has done, but it's just hard to love someone that you're really scared of. And Scripture tells us to be fearful of God. I don't think it tells us to be fearful of God in a way that, you know, I think you just have to recognize who we are and who He is. And never, you know, never whitewash that or forget that. So today, at least for me, this service has been reminding me of whatever little thing I have. Thousands of dollars of expenses that I didn't want. Loss of a job. My car doesn't work. I'm, you know, these little things. You're not laughing, so let me try it again. Thousands of dollars of expenses. Loss of a job. Inability to pay my bills. These little things are not important. God is important. And all we have to do is be able to rise above what the devil throws in front of us and keep our eyes focused on Him. Because He'll never fail us. He might not do it the way we think He should. He might not do it the way it makes sense to us. Charlie's exhortation about the mothers who lost their sons probably did not think that was the best way for God to work out His plan. I'm almost positive of that, and I wasn't there. But, as I say, if this is God's plan, it's perfect. And the only problem is, you don't have the wisdom to understand that it was perfect. And that's just hard. So, today's been a blessing because in many, many ways, we've been attacked and we've been brought up short. But God has still met our needs. Brother Ken's saying, hey, you know, all of a sudden I realize. And it's like, in spite of all this, He never left. He's kind of waiting on us to get our act together. Waiting on us to recommit. Waiting on us to listen to the still voice. Waiting on us to acknowledge that these little things that go on in the big picture are little things.
So first I have to tell Corky some exciting news. When you go to heaven, that won't be your plumbing. You won't have that kind of plumbing. And Corky, should you lose your next job, should you have no more money, look at all the people you can live with. Should you go without a meal, look at all the people that have a meal. And vice versa. We might all have to live in your basement with Sue Claire. So pray about that, Corky. Yeah. I would love to live with Sue Claire. Anyways, I wasn't here for all the testimonies, but I tell you, I have the greatest time with the Lord in the morning, and my faith has never been as strong as it is. And I attribute it, besides God working in me and me going through medical things a couple of years ago, but I tell you, I grew up with a mother, and everybody knew it. It was like, if you were bleeding to death or your arm was falling off, when Joanne prayed with you, the devil got scared. And I remember my friends, specifically Dawn Johnson, every time she would get hurt or sick or whatever, she would always tell her mom, you got to call Joanne and pray for, you know. Must have made Janice feel fabulous. But it's because I used to say, well, my mom's a little naive when it comes to, like, believing everything this says. Little naive. Well, I can tell you, mirror, mirror on the wall, I have become my mother after all. Despite my talking and my over-explaining. But I tell you, I can stand before you, and the devil's going to hear me, but so does God. If God decides, and I'm going to proclaim this, tomorrow, that he takes the man that he gave me after praying and being in despair 20 years ago, I'm going to count it all joy. And if he takes my boys, who I pray grow up to make two very happy wives in this world, or any of my girls or my grandkids or my parents, I will not charge God. I will be Job. I am willing. I am willing to go through whatever it requires. And I already feel like I have gone through whatever. You know what I mean? I ask the Lord every day, I would like the full armor of God. Whatever I speak, hear, see, feel, what I give out, what I take in, from my head to my toes. Let me be a spirit of joy to the Walmart greeter. Whatever it is, I want to bring peace. I do speak the truth from here. Not my own head truth, but the truth of what's here. And, you know, I really, really, Peter and James, oh, I love Peter and James, but I really, Philippians 4:9, like I read before, you know, be anxious for nothing. It doesn't say be anxious about your plumbing. It doesn't say only be anxious about tomorrow's meal, be anxious about your car trouble. Be anxious for nothing. Nothing. If you are anxious for something, God is not there. He can't dwell where there's fear. Where there's fear, there's no God. Where there's God, there's no fear. So after, you know, like I wasn't here this morning, but trust me, I'm here in spirit, and I have the most fabulous times in the morning. And this morning when I was listening to scriptures, it's like when I was younger, I would listen to the Bible read the Bible, and I would quote the scriptures, memorize them, you know. And then years later, when I was talking to somebody, I would be talking, and all of a sudden, scripture would come out. I was like, where did that even come from? I couldn't quote where it was, and I still am not good with, I could say to my dad, what's this one scripture? And he'll say, oh, that's 1 Corinthians. I have no idea. I don't pay attention. But when I listen to the scriptures every day, I play them while I get ready. And so that's a lot of scriptures. And I absorb them, and I eat them like I'm going to have another bowl of, I don't know, whatever people enjoy. It just soaks and absorbs into me that I feel untouchable. But regardless, I know that I can be touched. You know what I mean? But I have no fear. We went and prayed with Bob Harshman last night, and I remember all the years of going into the hospitals, you know, even giving birth, I would walk through the hospitals and I would see people just, you know, and I would think, oh, my God, I hope that's not me. I don't want to be here. And I was walking through the hospital last night, and we were in the critical care unit. And some of those people did not look so swell. The smell was horrible. It smelled like death in that area. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I haven't been here I told Pablo, I said, this is not going to be me. And if it is, that's how God is going to take me, and I won't even know. But this is not, I am not going to be fearful. I don't know. But I just wanted to, this came to me when Corky started talking, but I was thinking, Corky, that plumbing's not going to be in heaven. And we shall not have fear of no food for tomorrow or what you're going to drive. Or, you know, Charlie, he'll gladly give you a ride to work. You know, all those things. So, again, I'm going to read James. James, okay, greetings, James 1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. I know you know all this. It's just good to hear it again and again and again. And I need bifocals. My brethren, count it all joy, not a little bit in a sum and maybe, all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. And I can tell you, of all my years, I told Pablo, I have prayed for so many people in the circle and all my life, and I was praying, and as I was praying, I'm like, crap, did I put the roast beef in the crock pot this morning, or did I not? And I hope Angel is going to get here in time. Nope. We have to pray with everything. Let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord when he is asking with doubting. If you are asking with doubting, let him not receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded, unstable in all of his ways, a double-minded man. Let the lowly brother in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with the burning heat that it withers the grass, its flowers falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And I wasn't going to read this, but let me go back for a second to see if I can. But it doesn't work without my glasses, does it? I'm trying to remember this morning. No, I got to wear them around my desk. I need line bifocals, but I told the doctor I would be, because the no line don't work. I said I would be back when I'm 90 because I'm too proud to. So then I got to pray about that. I would too, because I do this anyway, so now I've developed this big wrinkle right there. So Pablo says I'm showing people my age anyways. I'm going like this. Hold on, First Peter. Oh, I listen and I listen and I listen, and then I pause my phone because I listen on my Gateway app. So I had to pause my phone to see where I was reading. Oh, wait. Oh, it was this. It was making me think of Pablo this morning. 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Corky, if you need a ride.
Well, I kind of feel like I'm kind of in the strangest church I've ever been in. And at the same time, if you put your security in this church, get delivered.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good God doing good things, but, you know, and I want to, two comments. Last week, Barb made gave a testimony, and I've been thinking about it all week, and having to do with the fact that all of a sudden she's starting to, it's impacting her, the fact that Jesus is a man. That's what it was, wasn't it? And anyway, and I thought, you know what? She knew that. The impact gets deeper. It gets deeper. It gets deeper. And after a while, we begin to understand why he is a man. That's a big one. If we understand why, we don't end up with Trinity. And then the other thing was Pablo's testimony. And I can't resist this. But his mother and his stepdad come from Chile. What a horrible, horrible testimony. He is sick. He's so sick he can't even communicate. He's in dire pain. What a horrible testimony. I don't know that he thought this because I've never talked about it, but it's like, this is what I would think. How can I witness to him? Look at me. What can I say that's going to help him? I can't tell him about the power of God. This doesn't show it. A week. Was it about a week, wasn't it? And anyway, what good can come out of that? You follow what I'm saying? We don't see like he sees. And so he does one of the most profound, unbelievable miracles that I have ever witnessed. Dumbfounded me. It has had an indelible impact on his mother, his stepdad, and who knows how many people, because I got a sneaking suspicion that neither one of them is real quiet about this thing. You know what I mean? And so what we need to do, and let's come up to the front. What we need to do is to pray for him that God will open all kinds of doors in Chile until half of Chile knows who Pablo is and they'll be saved.